540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. The Kremlin reports North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is now in Russia, not anywhere near Moscow, but in the Russian Far East, apparently set to talk about North Korean ammunition for Russia's war in Ukraine in exchange for Russian missile and nuclear technology. Foreign correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab.
The United Nations, of course, has said themselves, alongside the U.S. and the U.K. and other Western powers, that if Russia and if North Korea do enter into some sort of arms agreement, that this would be in violation of UN resolutions.
A Russian government spokesman tonight dismisses U.S. warnings about possible Russian-North Korean weapons deals. The earthquake devastation of that remote part of Morocco becoming more and more clear. Every passing hour, the chances of finding survivors getting smaller and smaller. The current count of known dead stands at more than 2,800 people. Watching the rescue efforts, correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab.
In the town of Talat al-Kaoub, young Maout al-Latnasser weeps over the death of his little brother, just 7 years old. I thank God for the beautiful memories I have of him, says his father, Brahim. They're all I have left of him. The heartache and destruction are worst here in the remote High Atlas, where twisting roads, steep cliffs, and rustic dwellings, the very things that make these mountains so jaw-dropping, made the earthquake and its aftermath so deadly.
Correspondent Chris Livesay. Now to that week-and-a-half-old manhunt near Philadelphia for a convicted killer who crab-walked his way out of prison has been on the loose since.
A resident has reported and confirmed that the suspect, Danilo Cavalcante, stole a gun from his premises, and now he has a firearm. And that resident was shooting at Cavalcante as well.
Yuki Washington of CBS News, Philadelphia, at the entrance to that deep cave in Turkey. Cheers as multinational rescue teams bring up on ailing American researchers from some 3,000 feet deep, rescuing Mark Dickey much quicker than had been expected. 3 weeks ago, Paula Rodriguez was traveling through Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta. Her paperwork was not in order. She had to detour. And while that was going on, Delta Airlines took custody of her dog, who then escaped. Well, happy finish. The dog was found in good health near airport cargo facilities.
I am so happy. My heart is full of love, and I know that it's going to bring all the love and all the peace again back to my family.
MGM Resorts are having some kind of technical problem that has shut down some casino and hotel computer systems.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
As an emergency medical technician, I hope motorists can remember these four life-saving words. Buckle up, phones down. It means wear a seatbelt. Every seat, every trip. And when driving, stay focused on the road ahead. Protect yourself, spare your family, and emergency responders from needless trauma.
Do your part to help us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads. A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
The Krebs Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Krebs Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
This is As Goes Wisconsin, but this is not Kristen Bry. This is Joe Zepecki. I'm sitting in for Kristen. She'll be back tomorrow. Back today, Jane Matinair, back from her world travels. We're not going to yuck anybody's yum.
No.
Or we're going to try not to. I actually don't know if that's possible, given the topic this hour. If you are one of the many Wisconsinites who voted for Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, it may be Robin Voss and Republicans who are yucking your yum. This conversation, this hour, on the impeachment insanity gripping Wisconsin politics is not designed to yuck anybody's yum. We don't want to do that. We want to provide you the facts and the information and the news you can use to be an informed participant in civic life. And so we're going to dive pretty deep on this hour. This being the news that emerged last week when Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester stated at a press conference that he was seriously looking at impeaching newly sworn in, about a month on the job, Justice Janet Protasiewicz. There's been a lot of news in the last month around the state Supreme Court, but this sort of stands apart for what it could mean in the short term, what it could mean in the long term, and we're going to get into some of that this hour. I will say right now, I don't know that we can get into all of it because the implications are so profound, but we're going to try. We're going to have a guest join us shortly. Wisconsin State Representative Evan Goyke, who is an attorney in addition to being a member of the state legislature, and has some great perspective on this.
And if you have questions for Representative Goyke, just text him in, 844-967-2789. We have a couple questions that already came in for him, so we will make sure and pose those to him when he joins us.
Excellent. And so let's just start with the why. Why is this happening? Because I think that might actually be the easiest part to understand. The Associated Press yesterday, Scott Bauer, Wisconsin bureau chief, filing. The headline reads, GOP threat to impeach a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice is driven by fear of losing legislative edge. The lead, Wisconsin Republicans have enjoyed outsized control of the legislature in one of the most closely divided states for a dozen years. Maintaining that power is now at the heart of a drama involving the state Supreme Court that has national political implications. And so what does that mean? Right now, there has been a case filed just last month to challenge the constitutionality of Wisconsin's legislative district maps. Every 10 years, there is a census. Every 10 years, there is a process known as redistricting, whereby states draw political boundaries for congressional districts, for state senate districts, for state assembly districts. Since 2010, when that census took place and the numbers came back and the new maps needed to be drawn, Wisconsin Republicans have dominated legislative politics in this state. They took the trifecta of control that they had in 2011 and 2012 when they controlled the state senate and the state assembly and the governor's mansion, and they carved up Wisconsin into maps that made it virtually impossible for Democrats to have a majority or really even a shot at a majority. And since then, we've of course had the 2020 census. There has been another round of maps. The maps are no better. This is an issue that has been litigated before, frequently, often. And so what we know through that process in the last dozen years is that Wisconsin's maps are rigged, full stop. We know that because a federal court has said so, has said these maps were constructed to give a partisan political advantage to Republicans. We know that because Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said under oath when questioned by Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce in the Wisconsin Capitol, has said under oath, partisan politics were part of the process. That's not a direct quote, but he copped to it, and I'm sure we can find that audio. But saying that these maps are rigged and are designed for partisan political advantage is about as controversial as saying that water is wet, the sky is blue, or grass is green. That's where we are. We have seen in the discovery process and all of this litigation to date, emails from lawmakers literally picking their voters. Republican lawmakers emailing the speaker's team saying, I want this part of that town, but all of this town, because that's where all the Republicans live. Literally choosing their voters. And the way that we want this system to work is we want people to choose their representatives, not their representatives to choose the people who are going to vote for them. Okay. So that's a brief history of sort of the gerrymandering fight in Wisconsin.
And can I say too, Joe, I don't want the Democrats to do a gerrymander like this either. I don't think Wisconsinites like cheaters.
Correct. And by virtue of the way that Wisconsin's geography works, it is impossible to do that. Democrats couldn't rig these maps if they wanted to, or if they that was their stated desire. What Democrats from Tony Evers on down want is a independent, nonpartisan redistricting commission.
Absolutely.
To take the politics out of this. What I want is fairer maps, right? I'm not even sure fair, right? Like it would be very difficult to draw a 50-50 map, despite the fact this is a 50-50 state, just due to the way that, you know, people sort and where people live. Fairer maps should mean that there are more competitive districts where sometimes Republicans win and sometimes Democrats win. And I think just more competitive districts would make the entire legislature more responsive to the people of Wisconsin. Because the implications of these maps is that the state legislature does not appear to be very responsive to the people of Wisconsin right now.
And they like it that way.
Oh, on issue after issue, whether it's legalization of cannabis, even for medical purposes, whether it is raising the minimum wage, whether it is accepting the federal expansion of Medicaid available under the Affordable Care Act that 40 states have accepted, including Oklahoma and Mississippi, really, really red conservative states. On all of those issues, like 70% of Wisconsinites say, yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that.
We agree on
right.
these
we
things.
We want that. But because of the way the legislature has mapped itself into this enduring right-wing majority, they don't have to be responsive to the people of Wisconsin. And that's a problem. It is just a problem for governance in this state. Okay. So where are we now? Where are we today? Why is this coming up again? There are people who believe that these maps are still not constitutionally proper. They're challenging their legality in state courts. And the makeup of the court is different than it used to be. Due to the election of Janet Protasiewicz in April, the majority of the court is now perceived to be progressive for the first time in more than 15 years. And how do we know that? The, you know, courts are nonpartisan. Yes, they are. They're technically nonpartisan. But what we have seen in the last 15 to 20 years is the courts have gotten slightly more political. Both political parties, Republicans and Democrats, have gotten a little bit more engaged in these fights. And in the course of her campaign, Justice Protasiewicz declared, water is wet, the sky is blue, and grass is green. That is the level of controversy that should be ascribed to her comments about Wisconsin's political maps. She went on to win resoundingly.
Yes.
Like an 11-point win.
Smoked him.
And now, in the wake of that, Republicans are threatening to impeach her, to remove her from her judicial position, even though she hasn't weighed in on a case, she hasn't ruled on a case. I think she has now heard exactly one. The impeachment of a justice, an officer of the court, is prescribed in the Wisconsin state constitution. You have to commit a crime, you have to commit an ethical violation. She has not done that. The ethical challenges that have been filed against her frivolously, in my view, have been dismissed by the Wisconsin Judicial Ethics Commission. There is no there. There is no here. They do not have standing or grounds to impeach Justice Protasiewicz. But they're going to apparently try to do it anyways because they are so terrified that she might say or rule these maps are unconstitutional. Go draw fairer maps and bring them back and we may approve them. Because that threatens their judicial hammerlock on the state of Wisconsin due to the maps that they've drawn. And it is possible that their designs, they being the Republicans in this case, are even more nefarious than just, hey, we don't like her, we're going to throw her out of office. Because of the way this process works, the state assembly can impeach her with a majority vote. They, of course, have a majority, almost a supermajority because of these maps. So if they get 50 votes in the assembly, they can impeach her. And then the state Senate, which would need 2/3 to convict, which is 22 out of 33, they could decide we're not actually going to remove her from office because that would mean Tony Evers gets to appoint her replacement. Instead, the state Senate can just decide we're not going to do anything with this. We're just going to let it sit out there, which would have the effect of sidelining Justice Protasiewicz from ruling on any cases for an indeterminate amount of time. And so there is pure politics at play here. It is nonsense. It is insanity. And yet we are apparently going to do this because Republicans are calling the shots. Come on back to As Goes Wisconsin. State Representative Evan Goyke going to join us after the break to continue the conversation.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy overnight with a low of 50. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 46. Overcast skies. Mid-60s Wednesday with a chance for scattered showers. Upper 60s Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is guest host Joe Zepecki sitting in for Kristen Bry. She'll be back tomorrow. Jane's on the board, back from her world travels. I didn't even think to ask her about jet lag and what time she thinks it is. Maybe we'll get to that before we're dark. Or you can come back tomorrow and listen to Jane and Kristen. Joining us now, State Representative Evan Goyke, who represents the city of Milwaukee. This hour we are talking about what I'm describing as impeachment insanity here in Wisconsin, which is this Republican threat to impeach new state Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Representative Goyke, appreciate you joining us. Let's just start here, which is when Speaker Voss first floated this, what was your first reaction? Were you surprised? Were you bowled over? Were you like, oh, no, this tracks?
I am not surprised that Voss antics after 11 years of having to work with him. Though I will say my initial reaction was that there's no way that it was real, because this is something that has not happened since 1853 and has only happened once in the entire history of the state assembly. And then, you know, in the last week or two, it's become much more real. And I guess I'm not surprised and just super disappointed that it's even on the table. And as a member of the body of people considering this, it's just absolutely absurd that they would even consider this and talk about it out loud.
Indeed. If you've got a question for Representative Goyke, text 844-967-2789. I want to back up a little bit because I think some of the history and context is important here. And so if you could remind our listeners, what did Republicans in the legislature do after Scott Walker lost the 2018 election to now Governor Tony Evers?
Yeah, we call a little midnight session of the legislature. We call that the lame duck session. So in between the period of Tony Evers and Josh Call winning the statewide election and being sworn into office, that was largely portions of the month of November and December of 2018, they passed a host of bills that made a number of changes to weaken the power of the executive branch and strengthen the power of the legislative branch, give themselves more power and take power away from the newly elected Democratic statewide officers before they even got sworn in.
You could say that's a legislative temper tantrum. You could say that's messing with the will of the voters because they thought they were electing statewide officials with one set of powers, and instead they're saying, "Now we're going to change the rules and do that differently." And our listeners don't need any reminding, but I think it's worth pointing out again that then after the 2020 election, approximately how many state resources were devoted to the big lie and chasing down this fantasy that somehow Donald Trump should have been the president of the United States.
Yeah, this is the disgraced former Justice Michael Gableman, and I will quote investigation around it. I don't know what the exact dollar amount is now, and litigation continues to drag on of costs associated with that, well over, I think, $2 million. And you should also put the lame duck legislation in that bucket as well, because there were hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of public dollars, spent in litigation trying to defend those actions. So, yeah, there's been a consistent jobs program for lawyers created by legislative temper tantrums in the last couple of years.
Because Republicans don't like the fact they're losing statewide elections. As I have told folks, there have been 17 statewide elections since the presidential election of 2016. 14 of them have been won by Democrats or the candidates supported by Democrats and progressives. And so I just walked through that history because now here we are again. We just had an election in the spring of 2023, and it certainly can be perceived as, once again, for like the third time in a row, Republicans in the legislature don't like the outcome of an election and don't care about the will of the people and are just going to sort of change the rules. I mean, are we wrong to look at it this way? Is it just that political?
Yeah, yes, it is. And I am really interested. It's a sad moment to be serving in the state legislature, but it is in a way incredibly exciting as a student of government. I love politics and all of this. So as somebody that is obsessed with all of this and a total nerd about how it all works, I am interested to see how it plays out. I know that the speaker is saying a lot, and a couple of his caucus members are beginning to trickle out statements or public statements or responses to constituents that they don't favor impeachment. Some of the private conversations that I've had, there's clearly a serious disagreement amongst many Republicans. I think the severity of the action that he's hinted at and the damage it would do to the institution of the state legislature is not lost on some of the Republicans. I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, but it's going to be interesting.
And as I understand it, the state constitution does explicitly spell out the grounds for impeachment. Can you tell our listeners what that is?
Well, I wish that there was more specificity, but impeachment is the assembly has the role of impeachment. That's done by a majority vote in the state assembly, and then the state senate has the role of trial and conviction and possible removal. The grounds for impeachment in the assembly are for crimes or misdemeanors, and that envisions actual crimes like actual prosecution and conviction by like cops and prosecutors in a real courtroom. And then corruption. And it's just in the Constitution, it's not defined what corruption means. But clearly, and in the one time that the assembly used impeachment, it was corruption in the, you know, personal use of or you know, taking money, taking bribes. And clearly that is not what they're arguing. They're arguing, I think, you know, that taking this case is corruption, and that's not true.
Yeah, that was State Representative Evan Goyke. He's going to join us after the break for a little bit more on this topic, talking about impeachment insanity here in Wisconsin on As Goes Wisconsin with your guest host, Joe Zepecki. Come on back on the other side of the break.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The dictator of North Korea is now in far eastern Russia.
Having initially met Vladimir Putin in 2019, Kim Jong-un's first meeting with any world leader since that year is again with the Russian president.
Reportedly to discuss North Korean ammunition for Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine, that is reporter Alex Jensen in Seoul. In Morocco, more than 2,800 people are now confirmed dead after that huge earthquake. Correspondent Chris Lifsay is there.
Many of these homes are made out of mud bricks, so they don't just collapse. They crumble, and they don't leave any air pockets for survivors who tend to just choke to death on the dust.
Pennsylvania police looking for that convicted killer fugitive concentrating on East Nantmeal Township in Chester County.
We are hearing that residents reported shots fired in this area, maybe five or six shots. We haven't heard anything yet, but that's what residents are reporting.
Aziza Shuler of CBS Philadelphia. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and affected climate change, is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fritos, Cheetos, Doritos. We should expect that stuff to be safe. Why does it make sense that corporations can poison the American people and we don't even know about it? Politically, there is a group who chooses to make sure that there are not enough dollars put into the Food and Drug Administration to check on these types of things.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, that doesn't really surprise me. It's come like Threads.
it was the same for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
Devek.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your guest host for the day, Joe Zepecki. Kristen will be back tomorrow. We're joined this hour by State Representative Evan Goyke, and we want to hear from you. We've actually got a couple of texts with questions for Representative Goyke already. Jane, what do we got?
From the 608 representative, ask how an attempt to impeach Justice Protasiewicz is even legal. Judicial Commission okayed her actions. She hasn't ruled on anything. So what stops her from ignoring the GOP assembly and continuing to hear and rule on cases? And why aren't the Democrats telling this truth?
Well, you know, the Constitution does give the Assembly impeachment powers. And if you kind of look at the hierarchy of laws within the state, a constitutional provision trumps a statute, which trumps an administrative rule. So, you know, in some law school textbook somewhere, the answer is the Constitution gives them the power to do that. The reason you've not heard of this before is because we don't use it, because it is a nuclear option that is reserved for when someone in office really has conducted themselves in an illegal manner. The text question about the Judicial Commission, I think, is really evidence that the behavior and the comments that Justice Protasiewicz had during her campaign are not illegal, do not rise to the level where she has to recuse herself on the case, and obviously do not rise to the level of impeachment. But the power does exist in the state constitution.
This is really important. I want to press on this. This is a question, like, what can judicial candidates say? Like, do they have First Amendment free speech rights? And the U.S. Supreme Court has, in fact, said they do. They get to answer questions like, and I don't know if you were listening earlier, Representative Kwaki, but from my standpoint, saying that these maps are rigged is about as controversial as saying water is wet, the sky is blue, and grass is green, right? We have Speaker Voss himself acknowledging the use of partisan political advantage as a criteria in these maps. We have a federal court in its rulings saying that they used partisan. So, like, this is not a controversial statement that she made. And the distinctions here when it comes to calls for recusal or what, you know, when it's her versus someone else, I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole, but this is not a controversial statement. This is not like a new, like some new profound thing out of left field that she said, or do I have that wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. In the context of the exact comment and the political maps, a lower court held that the maps skew in the favor of the Republicans, and that it was a partisan advantage drawn into the maps. Now, they were ultimately overturned on other grounds. That record, that the maps of the Wisconsin state legislature favor Republicans, is not in controversy. It's that Republicans didn't appeal that and say, no, they're not. Right. They appealed it on other grounds, and they want you to ignore the fact that there has not been a court that has ruled that it, they've said it, that, you know, maybe they're legal under a really flawed and, you know, bad reading of the Constitution, and there's a lot of legal gymnastics to get there, but nobody said they weren't partisan advantage to the Republicans. So she literally stated a fact.
Right. 844-967-2789. If you have a question for Representative Kwaki or myself or Jane, any of us here on ASGO's Wisconsin this half hour, we do have at least one more, but I also wanted to pick up on something else that is, I think, implied by that very smart question about what the Judicial Commission found with these ethics charges. So there's already been an adjudicated process, right? If a member of the court does something, there is a process where a member of the public, another attorney, can say, like, hey, we think this is out of bounds. And some of those complaints were lodged and they have been dismissed. But I think it speaks to a larger thing here, which is, this is the type of proceeding that, because of how ridiculous it is, could certainly find itself wrapped up in court for years and years to come, right? You can certainly conceive of a scenario where if the Assembly impeaches, that there is a filing in court to say this is out of bounds, and then they have to go do that. Again, I don't think anybody wants to go through years and years of litigation when this shouldn't be that complicated, when, you know, we simply can get members of the Republican Party to practice a little bit of what I would call, like, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and just stand up and say, like, this is nonsense and this is ridiculous. So are you concerned, or do you think this is likely to end up in court, or is the remedy Republicans just backing away from the precipice?
Well, there are different remedies, but the immediacy. So let's talk about what can be done and should be done right now, which is, we need to get every single one of the 99 members of the state assembly on record on where they stand. And I know that your audience has been asked ad nauseum to contact your elected official if you want. But this is the type of issue that it is bigger than calling them about the pending bill, Assembly Bill 10 or whatever. But write in, call in, ask for clarity, ask for where they stand, because this can be stopped. It can be stopped by 15, 16, 17 members of the Republican Assembly Caucus saying no to Robin Voss. So, I want to explain a little bit more to one of the caller's questions about, what happens. There is very little procedure in the state constitution for how the assembly goes about impeaching. The kind of precedent is a committee could be established to do an investigation. They could author articles of impeachment and then come up for a vote. That could take 2 months. That could take 2 weeks. There isn't a timeline that's set. And there's no real guidelines on what it looks like. Is it 10 people or 5 people that do this investigation? So we're in uncharted territory, and I wish I could join this show and provide clarity and certainty for the audience. But what we need to do now, you have the Defend Justice campaign going on, and I am so grateful for the people that are organizing the effort that didn't want to sit and wait. They wanted to be proactive to say, no, we'll get out in front and take this on head on and not just react to something, but be proactive. Be a part of that campaign by calling and writing in to the person that represents you and get their position in writing, because we can stop this thing before it ever starts by getting those Republican members to say no.
And here's the first step in that. If you are listening to this and you go, this is nonsense, I want to do something, I want to be part of the Defend Justice campaign, go to defendjustice.com. That is a microsite that has been stood up, which is attempting to get all 132 members of the Wisconsin State Legislature on the record for where they stand on this. So if you go to defendjustice.com, I'm looking at it right now, you've got sort of a scoreboard up in the top right, in the Assembly and in the Senate. Who is against removal, who is leaning against removal, who is undecided, and really not undecided is they just haven't been forced to answer this question yet, and then leaning towards removal, supporting removal. It's a nice little scoreboard. You can put in your address. It will spit up who your Assembly and Senate members are, and you will see whether or not they have weighed in on this, and if they have weighed in, how they have weighed in. So here's why that's so important. And I, as someone who serves in the legislature, like Representative Glicky, you get these calls. They matter. And if, one or two members of the Republican caucus in the state Senate say, no way, I'm not doing this, then it sort of allows us to move on and call out Representative Voss, Speaker Voss, and say, this is nonsense. It's not going anywhere. So what are you doing? And is that going to be enough? If we get one or two Republicans on record, do you think that this is what we do? Because I think that's the reason for why we need people calling and telling, especially Republican legislators, this is not okay. And we are going to remember this for a long time if you move forward with this.
Well, let me say this. Calls and emails and letters matter. They do. We read them. The position of constituents matter. I know there are a lot of people that just grumbled at me saying that on the radio because they've written and then they're a legislator. I'm not saying they'll automatically agree with you, but it is definitely a barometer of where the community that they represent are at. Let me say this. I know in the bowels of the hall of the Capitol, there are a ton of Republicans that don't want this to happen. They know that it is unprecedented. They know that it's a nuclear option. They know that it will just absolutely melt down the legislature, that the people will not like it, that there will be, look, we went on a recall and it didn't work. And I think there are a lot of people that look in the rearview and say, that know from that experience that many voters that would otherwise been Democratic said, I just didn't like the idea of recall.
Yeah.
People will not like impeachment at all. Justice Protasiewicz has been on the bench for a month. She hasn't done anything yet. I mean, she's new. She hasn't even ruled on the case. People will hate this, and they know it, and they're nervous. And so the pressure is necessary.
And part of what they know they're going to hate is the rank hypocrisy. We have a little bit of sound from over the weekend up front, one of the Sunday news magazine shows, one of your colleagues, Republican Representative Tyler August, talking about this issue, and particularly listened to, I think, a nice job by the reporter, Matt Smith, asking a follow-up question about the different standards here. Can we play that, Jane?
Do you have the votes in the assembly if it gets to that?
We haven't even had those conversations yet. I mean, and I think it's because both myself and the speaker and the members of our caucus, we really believe that she's going to recuse herself because it's the reasonable and right thing to do.
Broaden this out for me for a second. If you look at other justices, for example, conservatives like Justice Hagedorn, for example, he's taken money from the Republican Party, previously called Planned Parenthood wicked, before he was on the court, said he has committed himself to stopping abortion. I mean, so should he recuse himself on the abortion case?
Well, I think that this case is extremely different because of the way that it was politicized during the campaign. An individual saying what their own personal feelings are on an issue as personal as abortion, I view to be completely different than saying the maps are rigged, which is what the justice said, and indicating to her supporters and, frankly, the donors to the campaign that this is one of the centerpieces of her campaign and why she was running for the Supreme Court in the first place.
I'm just going to let Representative Glaicke react to that.
It's too early to have a cocktail. It is hard sometimes. That is some gymnastics, right? I mean, you could even hear it in the representative's voice, really trying to stretch it. Well, it's one thing to say Planned Parenthood's wicked, but no. There's a more history and hypocrisy to this as well. Liberals and liberal justices sought to define recusal rules for the Supreme Court in 2011. This is largely over massive contributions from WMC, and then they came back as litigants to have rulings that favored their membership. And the conservative justices, some of whom are still on the bench, said no.
Right.
They said no.
They wrote the recusal rules as they exist.
Yes, exactly right. They wrote the rules that Justice Protasiewicz is applying. They said no to altering them 10 years ago. So too bad, so sad. Sorry, Tyler, there isn't a distinction. Justice Protasiewicz is absolutely in her right to stay on the case. Impeachment is an absolutely terrible idea. It's just absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
And I'll go even one step further, and then I want to bring Jane in here. But in fact, Justice Protasiewicz has gone above and beyond the rules for recusal because she has preemptively said she will, in fact, recuse from any case that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is a direct participant in because of the support they gave her during the campaign. She doesn't have to do that. There's no rule that says she has to do that. She is, in fact, going above and beyond. And I think that's an important part of the context as well. Jane, did you have something?
Just real briefly, Representative Glaicke, I would just think that the Republican voters should be outraged and furious that their representatives want to continue to stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 we don't hear you.
Well, yeah, and if I'm one of them, and I don't know what it's like to be a Republican, but this obsession with all of these power grabs prevents them from doing the work that they were elected to do in governing for the people of the state of Wisconsin.
Amen. That was State Representative Evan Glaicke. Thank you for joining us this hour. I know you've got to get to caucus. DefendJustice.com is the website. We'll wrap up this conversation on the other side of the break here on As Goes Wisconsin. Thanks, sir.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost.
So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 68. North winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 46. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 65. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am guest host Joe Zepecki, sitting in for Kristen. She'll be back tomorrow. Jane will be back tomorrow. Not sure if Charles will, but he's on the phone right now. Charles from Green Bay, what do you got?
Yeah, okay. Donald Trump tried to rip us off for our votes in Wisconsin. What else is new? I mean, Janet Protasiewicz won by a margin of 11 points. I think my vote is just as important as Robin Voss's or Tyler August's. No, these guys are just playing a game. My thought is this. Before you go impeach Janet Protasiewicz, why don't you clean out your own closets? There's got to be some skeletons in those closets that would get you impeached for doing something there, Robin Voss, mm-hmm. and all the people who are Republicans in that, you know, the House and all that, whatever. It's ridiculous. The woman voiced her opinion. And as everyone knows, opinions are like, but we're not going to say it. And everybody's got one.
That's right. That's right. Well,
so, you know, it's fair.
Yeah, it's nonsense. Thank you, Charles. Keep up the intensity. Please visit defendjustice.com. Tell your friends up there in the northeast part of the state, quite a few Republican members of the legislature who, if we can get on record, we can hopefully try to knock this off. Thanks for the call, Charles. Next up, we have Marty from Milwaukee.
844-967-2789. Good morning, Marty.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I'll be brief with the time and everything, but I'm just a Milwaukee guy trying to figure out what's going on, and I appreciate what you're saying about the redistricting and how that hurts future voters and so forth, and it's not fair or American for the representatives to be able to pick their voters. I think that's what's going on. But if I may, you know, in Milwaukee, we had an illegal election in 2020, April of 2020, when the mayor's election took place. No Democrats said anything about moving election voting sites and so forth and so on. That was illegal. No Democrats said anything.
Well, let me challenge you there, Marty.
We just had an election and a chance to get rid of Ron Johnson, and we were not allowed to pick our candidate. Now, Mr. Barnes would have won, probably, and so forth and so on. But the enthusiasm was taken out when people were not allowed to pick their candidate. And now, just recently, we have a 2% sales tax increase in Milwaukee, $186 million coming out of the pockets of the fourth poorest city in America. And not a Democrat said anything negative about that. And the people, again, were not allowed to vote. What are we doing? We're replacing one bad party with another bad party that either one of them just sticks it to Milwaukee. How long do we have to put up with being stuck in Milwaukee? We should be leading this charge.
Well,
I'm sorry, I get a little emotional.
No, that's okay, Marty. I appreciate the perspective. And as we queue up the next call, I just want to touch on a few things that Marty said there. In April of 2020, Governor Tony Evers and Democrats tried to, under the laws, postpone that election so that it could be conducted in a more safe manner. This was the onset of the COVID pandemic. We had a lot more questions than we had answers. And due to the makeup of the state Supreme Court at that point, we were not able to move that. So Democratic officials like then Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett did the best they could under very difficult circumstances, but they certainly tried. And because of the makeup of the state court, it couldn't be done. In terms of the primary in 2022, the people did vote. The people voted for Mandela Barnes. You can feel a way about how that primary played out, but the candidates made their choices. Nobody orchestrated that. Nobody forced that to happen. And Barnes was going to win that primary. And ultimately, all of this, what it means in speaking to Marty's frustration around things like the sales tax, that was the best deal we were going to get with a Republican legislature that has such a gerrymandered map. And so that, to me, that's the takeaway. If you don't like that raw deal, or in your mind, a raw deal for the city of Milwaukee, you should care about this maps issue, and you should want Republicans to back down from this fight before they take the unprecedented step of removing Justice Protasiewicz, despite the fact she has not committed a crime, despite the fact she has not done anything unethical. The maps are a key to that, and getting a better deal for Milwaukee, which, believe me, as another Milwaukee guy, I want to see. Thanks for the call, Marty. I think we got time for one more. Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, my guess is that Judge Protasiewicz would have got hammered either way on that when she was asked that question on whether the maps are rigged or not, because her not answering that question would be just as clearly answering it as well as her answering. Because let's face it, Dan Kelly actually said, "Well, the maps are just fine with him." And let's remember that Justice Ziegler, as was reminded on the media lately, 11 times she apparently presided over cases as a district judge that her husband was actually a party to, as part of a member of a bank board or president of a bank board, that she should have recused herself from those cases. And it wasn't brought up strongly enough when she was up for election the first time, nor the second time. And I actually wrote a letter to the editor the first time because I'd heard that she had judged that. And I knew as a public employee at the time, it was a violation of ethics to actually do for her to do that, to judge on that case. And they're not getting hammered. She's not getting hammered on that on a daily basis. So for Judge Protasiewicz to say what she actually say what everybody knew, everybody across the country knows that Wisconsin's maps are among the most gerrymandered politically in the country, and that for anybody to think to say otherwise is either a liar or a fool. Yeah. And I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate
Thanks a lot,
the
Mark.
Call.
We had another texter, Joe, by the way, who wants the website for Defend Justice.
DefendJustice.com.
Call. Write. Email. Do it.
Go to DefendJustice.com. Type in your address. It'll spit out who your state legislators are, where they stand on this, if they are standing anywhere, and the means to contact them by phone or by email. What have we learned today, Jane? We've learned that water is wet, sky is blue, although not really today, I guess.
Not so much.
Grass is green, and the Green Bay Packers still own the Chicago Bears. Thanks for having me in for Kristen Bry on the Civic Media Network. Kristen will be back tomorrow. Jane, do you know what's on tap?
For tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is that part of my job? I forgot.
I wasn't sure. I don't know how this place runs.
We're going to have guests. We're going to have things. We'll have games. It's going to be
More fun because Kristen's going to be here. It's going to be less dry, less boring.
Oh, you it was can wonderful.
Always join the conversation at 844-967-2789 on As Goes Wisconsin. You can also hear me on Up North with Pat Kreitlow on Thursday mornings. I would guess I'll be back at some point. I don't think this is the one where they fire me for all time from serving as a fill-in.
Gosh, I hope not.
I hope not either. I had fun with it. I hope you had fun. Welcome back from your travels, Jane.
Thank you.
Congratulations to the Packers and Jordan Love. Let's hope Coach Fickell and the Badgers get it together this week. And let's hope Wisconsin Republicans do the right thing. They get a little bit of that Brian Kemp inspiration and back down from impeachment insanity. This was As Goes Wisconsin, Monday, September 11th.
Monday, it's here to stay. Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.